Summer Sundays are meant for freshly cut grass, ballpark dogs, and the best baseball talk you can find. So kick back with your bacon and eggs and pour yourself a mimosa while Phillies announcer Greg Murphy and Green Legion Radio's Chris Sack break down your fighting Phils and take you around the league right now on Baseball Brunch. Play ball!
Good morning, Philadelphia. Welcome to Bud Light Baseball Brunch here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, powered by Green Legion Radio. And download that iHeartRadio app and you can listen to us anywhere crystal clear worldwide. It's a bit of an overcast day in the city, but everybody's going to be out. I think the sun is going to poke its head out eventually today, and we should be able to get tonight's game in between your fighting Philadelphia Phillies and the St. Louis Cardinals as we broadcast live from 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, iHeartRadio Studios in Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania. My name is Chris Sack of Green Legion Radio, sitting alongside my co-host in the captain's chair, as always. But this is a bit of a different way of looking at Murph this week. I'm sitting alongside casual Murph. What's going on, buddy? How you doing
this
morning?
You are enamored with my casual look.
I
do have a life outside of our particular radio show and baseball.
I got to wear my hat backwards. I feel...
Murph, where's your Phillies polo?
Yeah, I don't...
Your mother wear?
I know. I should have dressed up for the purple. I'm sorry.
No, not at all, man. You don't have to be sorry. It's a different side, though.
Yeah, well, it's Sunday morning. I don't have to be at work until around 3 o'clock today, which is odd. Sunday night baseball, although we've had a couple of those this year already,
it's really messed up with our schedule.
No
this
doubt
year.
It's totally screwed with our schedule. It screws with my internal schedule too. You know, the baseball season for the most part is a pretty rhythmic kind of thing, and then you know you're 7 o'clock, you're 7 o'clock, you're 7 o'clock, and then boom, 1 o'clock, and you know it's Sunday. You don't even have to look at the calendar, right? You just know it's Sunday. It's the only way I know what the days of the week are is by what time our game is. But this year, for whatever reason, we're all over the place in terms of time, so I never know what day of the week is.
6:05, 1:05, 1:35.
It's been a lot of 6:05 games.
You know, I'm a confused person by nature anyway. This is not helping. But, so it kind of throws us off a routine a little bit, but it'll be fun. Great game tonight. Great pitching matchup tonight. And national television audience, which is always kind of fun. But, of course, you know... Phils need to win. They need to get that series win. That's the most important thing. They got the right guy on the mound for it, so hopefully it works out.
And I'm happy that we're back together again in our regular time slot, not having to do early mornings, which are bad for you, and late at nights, which are bad for me.
Early mornings are bad for everybody.
I'm a morning person. I'm not too bad. This morning was a little bit of a drag, but nonetheless, here I am, and ready to do a great show today. We're going to have a lot of fun. And guys, for those in mind as well, 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, new programming on Sundays. There's us from 11 to 12. We have The Divide coming up at noon. They had Cliff Floyd on their show last week, former Major League Baseball player and also on the MLB Network. And then make sure you guys tune in at 1 o'clock for our boy Tim O'Keefe for Balls, Bats, and Bets. Tim has been on fire lately. I think he went 4-1 last week. So make sure you guys stay with us here right on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, even after we're done.
Who else has been on fire of late, I wonder?
We don't talk about that until the last segment, Murph.
Okay.
But you know,
I can wait.
You know who's really on fire, though?
Who's that?
Dave Bavusa with State Farm Insurance. Okay, just as your local fire. State Farm agent combines good neighbor service and surprisingly great rates, you could combine your home and auto, and guess what you'll get? That's right. Good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates. In fact, State Farm agent Dave Bavusa is your go-to agent for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining home and auto today. State Farm agent Dave Bavusa will help you mix and match things perfectly. Call 856-740-5012 for your surprisingly great rates. That's 856-740-5012. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements. So let's go ahead. Let's give away some tickets here on the show today. Yeah. We're going to have a little bit of fun with our side topic for sure, because it's a holiday weekend, Murph. And a holiday weekend, I think we all enjoy it. I don't know about all of us, because I know there's a lot of people that still do have to work on holiday weekends, i.e. you during the summertime for sure, which I'm going to get to that in our second segment today. There will be a sack attack on Major League Baseball and the fact that the Phillies are not playing on 4th of July. But nonetheless, I digress. Let's give away two tickets for the Phillies and the Chicago Cubs game on Friday, July 22nd at 7:05 p.m. In order to win, you must answer in the comment section of the Green Legion Radio YouTube channel, the Green Legion Facebook page, or our Twitter handle at Green Legion. With it being a holiday weekend, only fitting to do the following. Your favorite holiday movie of all time, any holiday, just because it's the 4th of July holiday, doesn't mean it just has to be Independence Day with the 4th of July. See, I took that one off the board.
Didn't see it.
Yeah, it won a blockbuster. It was our blockbuster winner a couple weeks ago.
Didn't see it.
But that's all right. It's okay. I still haven't
seen
it. I
heard it was good.
But, you know, as we were saying before we went on air, I have to see The Godfather and Murph has to see Titanic. No, we're just kidding.
So Titanic is not a holiday movie, by the way.
No, it is not Slash. It is not for sure. All right. So, Murph, I know you have probably a good top five for me here, but give me one of them, your top five.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, obviously your mind goes to Christmas movies first and foremost.
Absolutely.
So I have a list of top five, but I'm only going to give you one right now. It's not my number one. But it certainly is a great holiday movie, and it's one of those movies, again, where you're flipping through the dial and it's on. You're probably stopping and watching some of it. Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day. Bill Murray is brilliant in everything he does, and it's just a great movie. I quote it all the time. So Groundhog Day in my top five. Not my number one, but in my top five.
Where would it fall in your top five, though?
Well, three, I think.
Three, okay.
Yeah, it's still developing.
But I'm not going to try and take anything that's Mount Rushmore-esque. I'm just going to go with my favorite Christmas movie.
Okay.
My favorite Christmas movie of all time is Jingle All the Way. If you can't go wrong, especially in the 90s, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Phil Hartman, and Sinbad.
Ooh.
You can't go any worse than that. Have you seen that movie?
I have not.
Oh, it's hysterical.
Okay.
It's a typical, prototypical 90s movie. It probably wouldn't work this day and age because Amazon exists. So there's not the need on Christmas Eve to run out and try and find this Turbo Man doll. You know, you could probably just order it and it's at your house on Christmas morning or Christmas Eve night. But it still stands the test of time. My wife doesn't understand it. She doesn't get why it's my favorite, but
okay.
I digress. I still love that movie for sure. Slash, what do you got for me?
I'm going to stick with the Christmas theme, and I got to go with a classic, A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Everybody complains how on TBS they, you know,
and
they
TNT.
Play 24/7, but I love it. It's such a comforting movie, and it's a classic. So it's off the board.
I think it's a good one.
I don't know. What does Sam have for us on with her one? I'm going to wait for her to pop it up here. While we wait for that, we're going to go out of the box. So since the last time that we were together, a lot has changed over the last week, Murph. The Phillies have still had a winning record over the last week, 4-3. But two of those losses were big losses and very important losses and a series loss to the Atlanta Braves. But now the Braves, as hot as they are, they're 2.5 behind the New York Mets for first place in the National League East. And we're going to talk in the second segment. We're going to go around the league, and those are going to be two of the teams that we do discuss.
Yep.
Phillies now sit 7.5 back in the division. So they have made up ground since their hot streak.
Lots of ground.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think, what was it? I think we
made
up
12
five
and a half.
Games.
Yeah. They were 12.5 back.
And, so the Phillies are still sitting pretty, 2.5 behind the St. Louis Cardinals. But hey, a win today, you're 1.5 and you get the Washington Nationals coming in for 3, and the Phillies have dominated the Nationals the last few years.
Yeah.
But the biggest news of all over the last week has been the injury that happened to Bryce Harper. I know the Phillies didn't want to speak too much on it. Rob Thompson had said the other day he's going to wait until Bryce comes back and he's with the team and he addresses the media himself. But all reports are 6 to 8 weeks. I mean, the probably our best hope right now is early August, early to mid-August. He is a quick healer, which is something that we're looking that hopefully we're going to get him back sooner rather than later. But what's the update that you're getting from the Phillies and from being around the team?
Yeah, so, what you said, Bryce was in yesterday, briefly, did not talk to the media yesterday, but is going to address the media on Tuesday. So we will get an update from Bryce himself on Tuesday. Obviously, the surgery went well. He's on his feet. He's walking around. He's doing okay. Now it's just a matter of the healing process. And, that idea that he's a quick healer, certainly we're all hopeful that's accurate. The quickest healer I've ever covered in my life was Allen Iverson. That nobody healed quicker from injuries than Allen Iverson. He was amazing at how quick he could come back.
That's what happens if you don't practice.
Well, maybe that's true. whatever Allen was doing, it was working for him because he was, he's also one of the toughest guys you'll ever meet, but he was a quick healer. Let's pray that Bryce, it heals quickly. Look, baseball is the kind of sport that once you heal, you still need a week or two to kind of get back. Now, Bryce might not need that much time because he is that talented, but he's going to need a little time getting some swings off live pitching, whether he goes down and does a rehab assignment or not. I'm not sure, but we'll know more on Tuesday. So, you know, tune into the pregame show on Tuesday night, and you'll get a complete recap on Bryce. But devastating injury in that you just simply can't replace a guy like Bryce Harper. But what you can do is replace his production up and down the lineup. And that's the way the Phillies offense is thinking about it. That's the way Rob Thompson is approaching it. You got to find guys up and down the roster that can do a little bit of what Bryce was doing. And if they can all do that, then you can at least hold on and replace the production for a while. And then when you get them back, boom, right back in the middle of the lineup. Hopefully you've got your other guy swinging well at that point, and who knows what can happen. So, look, other teams are dealing with the loss of superstars. We are not the only ones. The Mets, the Braves, the Dodgers, you know, the best teams in baseball have lost their superstars. So no one's saying, you know, the poor Phils. It's just a matter of keeping your head above water and doing even a little bit more. I don't think treading water is going to be enough, Zach. I think they have to, even while he's out, I think they have to continue.
Make up some ground.
They do. They have to make up a little ground. It doesn't have to be 10 games, but if they can make up two or three, get to that 6-7 game above 500 mark when Bryce comes back, because I think you're going to need to be around 12 games, 14 games above 500 to be a serious contender in the wild card. So that's what they have to do. And it's not going to be easy, but it's certainly doable. And every guy in that clubhouse believes that. So that's what they're going to try and do.
Now they need, obviously, I've kind of been poking at you over the week about Castellanos because I got into him last week and he had some big moments during the course of the last week for us. I look at his lineup though. You're going to need Castellanos and Real Muto are going to have to step up. We're 3 months into the season. They're going to have to rediscover their form, especially Castellanos. I mean, it's got Silver Slugger Award last year. He's had a really good career, paying him $100 million. I don't care if you got to get him out of Ben Simmons' house or whatnot, just so we can try and exercise the demons for sure. But I would be remiss here. Kyle Schwarber, NL Player of the Month in June. Yep. Insane numbers, courtesy of Todd Zalecki here, Murph. Schwarber had 12 homers, 27 RBI, and 27 runs scored in the month of June. Only the fourth Phillies player since 1901 to post those kind of numbers in a calendar month, and the last to do it was Dick Allen in June 1966. Insane numbers. Now, with Bryce out of the lineup now, do you start to think now, I don't know if we talked about this last week, but would you start to think about maybe taking Schwarber out of that leadoff hole and moving him down into cleanup or in that three hole? Because there's going to be more, instead of hitting solo shots, you're going to have more runners on base in front of you.
In theory, yeah.
You would hope so. Do you mess with that at all, or do you leave it as it is? Because they've gotten a lot of production this week from the bottom of the lineup, and when it turns over, Reese and Schwarber are right there being able to drive them in. So do you not mess with it and just keep it as is?
Yeah. So, you know, it's a great question. It's probably one that Rob Thompson falls asleep to every night and wakes up thinking about every morning at this point. I'm a don't mess guy kind of thing.
If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, I really am. I think, you know, you need the guys at the bottom of that lineup regardless to offer some production. Last night they were outstanding. I think they were 8-for-15 with 6 runs scored and 6 runs knocked in, that bottom of the lineup. So you might not need that every night, but you certainly need production out of them. I keep Kyle where he is. He looks so comfortable there right now. And you just got to hope that Castellanos figures it out and figures it out quick. And I still believe he will. I really do, but he needs to do it. He needs to do it fast.
No doubt about it. Now, with Bryce's injury, where does that leave the Phillies in the meantime? Less than a month ago until the Major League Baseball trade deadline. Are the Phillies going to try and go out and make a move here in hopes that, you know, like they're going to bring somebody in? Because a lot of people are tying down the Phillies to Andrew Benintendi, with the Kansas City Royals, who won a World Series with Dombrowski and the Red Sox in 2018. There's a name that's being bandied about. He could play all three outfield positions. So eventually when Bryce does come back, and you know, whether or not he's going to be playing right field at that point or not, or he's going to DH, you could put Benintendi in that center field spot and you don't miss a beat. Or do you just continue to try? And this is what they're going to have to do in the meantime, and not a lot of moves are going to be made until the end of July, especially now with the extra wild card spot in both leagues. Yep. More teams are in it. More teams think that they're in it. Obviously, the Royals are the worst team in baseball. They know they're not in it, so they're going to unload him at the point, but they're going to try and drive that price up as high as possible. Yeah. And for me, the only guys that are untouchable in the system are Andrew Painter and Mick Abel. But do you still try and tread water? Because, and we're going to get to his name here coming up, because I know you talked to him on the pregame show the other day. Derek Hall has had himself quite a few days here in the big leagues.
Yeah.
As a DH, you could put him in at first base for Reese, 27-year-old rookie. I don't know if he's going to be bashing home runs at this rate right now. But
probably not.
Probably not. But you sit there and you look at this team currently constructing. Like you said, you can't just tread water. You need to make up ground. And I have all the confidence and all the faith in the world that Dombrowski is on the phones and he's trying to do what he can to bring people in here that can help.
Yeah.
But where are you looking at with this trade deadline coming up in less than a month? Are you looking to add to the offense, knowing that lurking down the road is the eventual returns of Harper and Segura? Or are you making a move in the starting rotation? Because, I don't know, man, Zach Eflin's health is a big question mark for me.
Zach, it worries you. Although, I've talked to Zach a couple of times over the last couple of days, and he really is not concerned. It is not a structural issue in that knee.
Like it was last year.
It does not require surgery. It is a bruise on what they call the fat pad behind the kneecap.
Fat pad.
The fat pad that is behind your kneecap. And they just, every time, it's not even pitching that aggravates it. It's fielding his position. When he comes down off the mound and then stops and has to field the ball and twist, that's when he feels it. So, Just
be John Lester. Don't field your position.
Well, and there's a thought process there, but that doesn't, you know, first of all, a competitor like Zach Eflin probably wouldn't even be able to wrap his head around that. But secondly, it's not ideal. So what they, you know, they've shut him down, and I would imagine he's shut down through the All-Star break. They haven't said that, but I would imagine they'll give him that All-Star break, and he should be, according to the docs and according to Zach, 100%. It's just a matter of give it a little time, let it clear out, and he should be okay. So yeah, we hold out hope. For me, it's a concern, no doubt about it. But in talking with Zach, he does not appear concerned at all. So that's a good sign. To answer your first question, yeah, the Phils are going to be active at the trade deadline. There's no doubt about that. And you can bet Dave Dombrowski is on the phones.
Kicking the tires with everything.
Absolutely. The Andrew Benintendi thing is interesting, but the price is going to be astronomical right now. And I don't think the Phils are willing to, you know, hijack the young players in the system just to kind of put a Band-Aid on the situation with Bryce. So I think if it becomes tenable and the price starts to make sense to Dave Dombrowski, he makes the move. But it might be a little bit of time before they do that. So, you know, but they have a lot on this roster. And honestly, they have a lot of bullpen arms that are getting healthy right now. They have two or three bullpen arms that are at the AAA level in rehab assignments.
Coonrod's going to be coming back soon.
Yeah,
you've got Brogdon coming off COVID.
Yep, JoJo Romero is now at AA, I believe, doing his rehab assignment. So they have,
and the bullpen is pitched really well, Murph.
Right. So think about that. You're going to add in a couple of real good power arms. Obviously, you're going to have to take some of those guys out, but it's a good problem to have. So maybe they don't have to concentrate on the bullpen as much as we all thought back in May that they were going to have to do. So maybe they can add an outfielder, and maybe they can add some depth in that starting pitching at the trade deadline. And I'm sure they're thinking of all angles at this point in order to try and make this team a little bit better.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because if Harper and Segura were both in this lineup right now with the way the bullpen is rolling, yeah, that's the best thing that has happened since Rob Thomson has taken over. I know the team's gotten hot, but how he has controlled the bullpen and everybody has a role now. It's a defined role, and the way he mixes and matches. What was it? Friday night, he went with Hand and then Sir Anthony.
Yeah,
and then flip flopped it. It's like he knows what he's doing. These guys have that understanding. Alvarado's gotten better ever since he added in that cutter. Mm-hmm. It just seems like he knows what the strike zone is, which with that type of velocity, that's what you need. Yeah, throw strikes.
He has a lot better control of that cutter than he does of his other fastballs, and we've seen the difference in Alvarado. It's been pretty remarkable. So yeah, your point is a good one. You know, it didn't work out for Sir Anthony yesterday, but Arenado's been hot from time to time. Yeah. Arenado's been ridiculous.
Yeah, but real quick, that cycle was Fugazi, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Come on, man. That's a two base E5. I mean, like, if he scoops it.
If he backhands that cleanly, right. He's out.
Yeah. He backhands it cleanly, and then he still airmails it. That's an error. Like, if he threw it, now he backhanded it, he flubbed it, and then he wound up throwing the ball well over Reese Hoskins' head. I don't know.
It was a rocket off the bat. And that's what the score looked at in terms of, it was on Vierling in the blink of an eye. I think an established above average third baseman makes that play. Matt's neither. I mean, that was his second start at third base. And, he's a guy that is really probably better suited for the outfield. But regardless, it was a tough scoring decision. I didn't know which way they were going to go. At that point, they're probably going to lean towards, give the guy the cycle kind of
history.
Thing.
Yeah, it's funny because they didn't lean that way 8 years ago in Colorado when Ryan Howard hit the ball in the right field needing a double. And the outfielder didn't even touch it. And the ball got by him. And they wound up calling that a single and an error. And I still have to live with the fact that David Bell, 18 years later, is still the last one to hit for the cycle for the Phillies.
Did you see David Bell yesterday in that Reds game?
No, I did not.
Oh, man, he got tossed for like... the smallest thing, and he was livid. I've never seen him like that before. It was hilarious.
Yeah, well, I wish we would have had that fire when he played here. But first Cardinal to hit for a cycle since 2005 with Mark Redzolanik.
So, yeah.
I mean, with all those great players that they've had over the last 17 years, you would think.
Well, it's hard to do.
I know.
Yeah.
Premier Window Cleaning is the leading window cleaning company in Philadelphia and the surrounding areas. Over 30 years experience, they offer commercial and residential window cleaning, pressure washing, parking garage cleaning, graffiti removal, post-construction cleaning. Every employee is trained, certified, and goes through an extensive background check. At Premier Window Cleaning, your satisfaction level needs to be 100%, as no job is complete until you're happy. With clients like Lincoln Financial Field, Comcast, Chop Roberts, and University of Pennsylvania, you cannot go wrong. For more information and a full list of services, give them a call. 267-534-5198. That's 267-534-5198, or go to their website, wehatedirtywindows.com. That's wehatedirtywindows.com. Coming up in the second segment, I want to get to know a little bit about this 27-year-old rookie, Derek Hall. We're going to do a sack attack on Major League Baseball for not having the city of Philadelphia hosting a 4th of July baseball game, which is complete asinine. And we're going to talk a little bit around the league right here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch, 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be right back right after this.
The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance.
All right, welcome back to Bud Light Baseball Brunch here on Sunday, July 3rd. Hope you all are having a great 4th of July weekend with your friends and your families.
I am.
I'm having a great time with my friends right here in studio and Super Sam Brady back in Sea Isle. Yeah, holding down the fort for us.
She's got the best studio.
Yeah, she does. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you had a good one last week too.
Where was I? Was San Diego.
Yeah, you were in San Diego.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one. San Diego's pretty nice. 75 and sunny and no humidity and yeah, pretty nice.
You know what's going to be pretty nice for us though?
What's that?
Few more weeks, we're going to be down at the Ludlum Hotel.
Going down to shore.
Yes, Ludlum Bar and Grill. Make sure you guys come on down and hang out with us. We're going to be in a different time slot that day and a different day. Saturday, July 23rd, the Phillies are going to be playing the Cubs that night at 6:05. But before that, Murph is going to come down to the shore so we can do a show from noon to 1.
I thought you were going to say
not 12 to noon. Not 12 to noon, like I said last week. Yeah, because I was sweating my rear end off in my mother-in-law's kitchen. But yes, we are going to be on from 12 to 1, followed by Green Legion Radio from 1 to 3 with yours truly, / Diaz, Quimby, Eagles legendary wide receiver Irving Fryer, Super Sam Brady. We're all going to be down there. It's going to be a great time. Make sure you guys come on down and hang out with us at 4000 Landis Avenue in Seattle City. Yes, the old La Costa. The complete renovation finished. You will see a brand new look, feel, and vibe set amongst a casually sophisticated bar, a cozy a la carte dining room, and the only mellow lounge in Townsend's Inlet. The menu is seasonal, offering the freshest local seafood cooked simple to ensure that flavor that already exists stays that way. Come on down. Check them out at LudlamHotel.com. That's Ludlam, L-U-D-L-A-M, hotel.com. Or call them at 609-263-7829. That's 609-263-7829. For all your reservation, dining, and entertainment questions, the Ludlam Hotel, the Ludlam Bar and Grill, your new oasis in Seattle City.
Can't wait.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm not a big shore guy, Murph, but you know, yeah. I like being around the shore, like around the beach. I like the feel
so
of it.
So you're not a good, you're not a big beach guy, yeah. Which neither am I.
Right.
I mean, look at me, my God, I combust in the sun. Ugh. So I'm not a big beach guy, but I do like the shore, the vibe of the shore.
The ambiance.
I always said on a deck somewhere, yes. Overlook it. Yeah, you and I are the same.
Yes. I've always said I would love to have a shore house for a week.
Yeah.
Just open up the windows, smell the beach,
yep.
Feel the beach, you know, have the breeze come in through the windows while I'm just sitting there watching college football or baseball. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that.
Oh, yeah. My boy. I would invite Jimmy over and we would hang.
Yeah.
It would be cool.
Yeah. You know who else would be really cool to hang out with?
Who's that?
A guy that hasn't stopped smiling since he's been here. Derek Hall.
Yeah.
27-year-old rookie.
He's having fun.
He looks like he's having fun. And guess what? I'm having fun watching him. I can't get enough of athletes that have an appreciation for getting to the show, how hard it is to get to the show, and loving every single second of it. Yeah. And I wish he was playing yesterday when I was at the game. I was disappointed he wasn't in the lineup. But I know you had him on the pregame show, Murph. Why don't you tell us a little bit about our 27-year-old rookie, Derek Hall?
Well, you know, for folks that have kind of followed the story over the last couple of days, I mean, he's exactly what you think he is. He's a young guy, you know, 26, but he's a young guy who has been in the minor leagues for a couple of years. We've had Derek in Major League camp during spring training over the last, I want to say, 3 seasons he's had a major league invite, but maybe it's been 2. I can't swear to it. But so we've gotten to know him a little bit down in Clearwater as well. He's played a lot down there with the big league team. And he's just a completely likable guy who appreciates everything that's happening to him right now. And he's a good player. I mean, you look at his body type and you think, okay, obviously slugger, power hitting kind of guy. But if you watch his swing, I mean, he really has a gorgeous swing, one that is repeatable, one that is not just launch angle and home run every time. He's batting .260. Down in the Lehigh Valley this year. He had 18 doubles and 20 home runs when he was called up. So that's some serious production.
First 3 at-bats were all to second base, though, in his debut.
Right.
It was like every single time you could tell.
One was a rocket.
Yeah, but you could tell he was annoyed with himself. It was like, the second baseman again, you know?
Yeah, and you're right about that. But then, you know, the next day he hits the 2 home runs, albeit one off a position player. But then the following day hits the third home run. He obviously has power, but he can do a lot more than that. And he takes a lot of pride in the fact that he can do a lot more than that. And the reason he got called up this year, well, there was a couple reasons. Obviously,
Bryce's injury.
Yeah, the need for power in the middle of this lineup. But he told me, I figured some things out over the last, you know, 6 months where I'm hitting much more consistently for average. And, you know, if he was batting .215 and hitting 20 home runs, the Phillies might have had pause bringing him up. But he's hitting .260. He's a guy that puts the bat on the ball. Going to strike out some, but not a ton. You know, it's not like this exorbitant amount that you see with a lot of power hitters. So in the middle of that lineup, he's going to put the bat on the ball. And that's important. And he's going to get an opportunity because the Phillies are going to see right-handers now for the next couple of days, like 4 or 5 days scheduled out. So he's going to get his opportunity.
I'll tell you about him too. I was kind of just doing this as a joking manner though. It kind of reminds me of all those years ago, 2005. I'm not trying to put him on a pedestal with Ryan Howard, but if he has like success, and this is just me, you know, having a little bit of fun here.
Yeah.
If you want to win some money off of him possibly winning NL Rookie of the Year, +15,000.
Well, he's got some work to do.
Put $100 on that. There's no one in the National League that's really running away with rookie of the year. I'm just saying he's going to have his opportunities. He's going to have his at bats, and he's not going to homer every time. I think 3 home runs in his first 3 hits is the first time a Philly's done that in 79 years.
Something like that. And the record in Major League Baseball is 5. Your first 5 hits all home runs, and that actually happened last year. a Blue Jay, and I'm going to draw a blank on who it is, but I think it was a Blue Jay. It happened last year, but that's the record.
Was it Wander Franco?
I don't think
that's
so.
Rays.
Oh, that's the Rays. That's right.
Bichette's been in longer than
It's not a name. He didn't hit another home run after that for the rest of the season. So,
hopefully Derek's got more success
than that. Yeah, and that's why, you know, it's funny because obviously, you know, but people ask you, oh my God, you know, is he the next big thing? And you're like,
Hold the horses.
I'm not going to say he's not.
But hey, if you throw $10 on a plus $15,000, it's $1,500.
If he were to come up and have the 2 months that Rhys Hoskins had as a rookie, he could win it because Rhys, you know, there was that year, there was some guys that were legit rookie of the year candidates, and Rhys finished third, I think, in the voting after just like seven weeks of playing. So look, it's a great story. Hopefully he can help in the middle of that lineup. That's the most important thing. Offer some production, offer some protection and some production for Nick Castellanos in that third hole, for Rhys in the two hole. That's why he's here. And, you know, between Mark Appel and Derek Hall, these stories, you just can't help but root for these guys because you talk about appreciation and understanding just how difficult it is not only to get to the big leagues, but to stay in the big leagues. Sometimes they say that's even harder. So it ain't easy, for sure.
You speak of protection. You know who needs protection? Major League Baseball needs protection.
Here it comes. Sack
from
attack.
Me, okay? Listen, I cannot believe that the cradle of liberty, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the birthplace of America, where the Declaration of Independence was signed here, July 4th, 1776.
I read that.
And on 4th of July, 2022, which you said before we even jumped on air today, first time since 1916.
What I said was, hey, it's happened before.
But the,
it's happened before. This is the first time the Phillies haven't played on the July, on
How
July 4th.
How on earth? Listen, in a lot of ways, this is why Major League Baseball fails, because they don't capitalize on opportunities like the other sports do that dominate holidays. NFL dominates Thanksgiving. This year, they're going to dominate Christmas Eve and Christmas.
Baseball is going to dominate the 4th of July. Just not here in Philadelphia.
Exactly.
Okay. Your argument there is you're looking at it from a very myopic view. The Philadelphia Phillies aren't playing, but 28 other teams are playing.
You love the simple fact, though. Exactly. You love the simple fact.
I love simple facts.
That you had the day off.
No, I honestly, well, look, the 4th of July, Labor Day, 4th of July, Memorial Day. I haven't had those days off in forever. But that said,
2 years ago, the pandemic.
Well, I don't count that because I had to like hide under my bed. But the point is that for the first 20 years of my career, I didn't have Thanksgiving or Christmas or New Year's Eve off. And now I do. So it's like for us, when you sign up for our job, you work holidays. And that's, I have no problem. And I enjoy being at the ballpark.
You've got one
July
of the greatest
4th.
Jobs in
of
the
course.
World.
Of course. So having a day off on the 4th of July
also,
for
your
me,
kids are grown.
It's fine. Yeah. But you know, I wouldn't mind having a backyard barbecue or going to one. And, that's
which you can tomorrow.
I could tomorrow. Yeah. I could. So,
where are you going?
And maybe I will. I don't have any plans. I'm such a loser.
See, that's what I'm talking about. I might as well work.
Oh, you're going to Franski's. You're going to Crux.
No. Well, as we like to say on off days, you get to choose your own friends. we see enough each other on the road.
But your argument is that the NBA dominates Christmas. Not every NBA team plays on Christmas. Some NBA teams,
but they know
play
how
on
to market their teams.
Fine. So you don't think that right now in Boston they're marketing the heck out of the Red Sox playing on the 4th of July? Washington, D.C.?
Philadelphia needs to market it.
Okay, and next year...
They need
year,
to play.
Look, I'm not
what
arguing...
What am I going to do with myself tomorrow?
I'm not arguing that it's odd, and I'm not arguing that...
I'm going to enjoy time with my family tomorrow. This is insane.
If the schedule makers needed to find an off day... So I guess the Nationals aren't
they couldn't
either.
Give them off on Thursday?
That's not, no, perhaps not. That's the point.
This is ridiculous.
So, look, it is what it is.
You throw a backwards hat on a man and you think you know a guy.
But you know, we started the conversation by saying it has happened before. The last time the Phillies organization, this is from the great Larry Shank, the Baron, the last time the Phillies did not play on July 4th, I'm sure some folks remember, way back in 1916, they didn't play. They also didn't play in 1915, back-to-back years. 1909, 1897, And can you imagine in 1886, they didn't play the 110th anniversary of the nation's birth, and they didn't play a game in Philadelphia. So five other times it's happened. This is going to be the sixth time. I don't know what the record is on July 4th, but I don't think it's real good. Although I'm just kind of...
I've been to quite a few. To quite a few 4th of July games over the year. But like President Whitmore says in Independence Day, we're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, okay, we celebrate our Independence Day.
I'm going to run through the wall now. Thank you for that. Yeah. And I'm going to kick up tomorrow and sit on my back deck and just enjoy watching other teams.
I mean,
play.
I couldn't be any more American today. I mean, I got my American shirt on. I always have my American hat.
Zach, we're getting it out of the way, so it'll be another 95 years before they don't play on 4th of July. We're just getting it out of the way now.
You don't know that. In 20,
what? I'm going to be dead?
In 20...
I almost died at 35. 23. You're expecting me to get through another 95 years?
Hey, you never
know. Strapping young man. You're good.
Oh, gosh. We're off the rails here for sure. But we love having fun. Hey, real quick, though. We've got a couple minutes here left in the segment. So, the Yankees. I've had this on the run sheet for like the last 3 weeks. I didn't pick them to make the playoffs this year simply because I didn't believe in their pitching. 58-21. This team can flat out rake. It's just insane. Can they be stopped in the American League? Astros have tended to be their kryptonite. I mean, they did no hit them last Saturday, and then they got a no hitter into the seventh inning on Sunday,
but ended up losing that game.
They wound up losing. Yeah. Is there anybody in the American League in particular that can stop this team?
Yeah, the Astros for one.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I mean. I hate saying it.
I mean, the Central's not that great.
Don't count out the Red Sox.
Blue Jays.
Look.
Rays, that's a good division.
Can they?
But they're not going to catch up to them.
You have to get in.
That's a cakewalk now.
You have to get in. So, can they be beaten? For sure. Will they? I wouldn't bet against them. I mean, they are that good this year. This offense is just insane. It really
is. Aaron Judge.
He's been outstanding. I was never a guy that thought, you know, he was an MVP caliber player for an entire season. I mean, certainly the power's there, but I am wrong. I mean, he is one of, if not the best players in all of baseball right now.
He's going to get paid.
For sure.
He's going to get paid this offseason.
Talk about timing.
Cashing in.
I can't even imagine what that contract is going to look like. So
most home runs by a Yankee before July. Babe Ruth had 30 in 1928 and 1930. Two times. Aaron Judge, 2022, 29.
Slash, can you play the Can You Believe It sounder? Because that was my Can You Believe
It
today.
Was it?
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
I have so many of these.
Yeah.
I'll give you one of mine.
Can You Believe It? Yeah, there you go. All right.
I'll give you one of mine.
All right. Thank you. I feel better now.
I'm so sorry. I didn't
All that research I did. Darn it.
5 minutes before the show.
Hey, it was right at my fingertips. You know, what do you want?
You know what, though? We are powered by Green Legion Radio, which means we are powered by the Green Legion. And you want to get on this schedule with the Green Legion this upcoming football season. We have so much going on. Great football destinations this season. Chicago, Arizona, Indianapolis, Houston. Bus trip down the turnpike to go see the Commodes in Washington, D.C. You can boo Carson Wentz all you want if that's what you please to do. We're going to head up north. We're going to go up at some point to see the Eagles play the Giants in December. Quimby's going to wait until the last minute. He's going to try and get the tickets as cheap as possible. I still say...
Smart businessman.
The Murph, best bet by far this upcoming football season, over-under win total for the Giants is 7 games.
I mean, under?
Under. Even if they win 7 games and they go 7-10 magically, you're going to push.
Right.
Not winning 7 games. Right. Best bet this upcoming season. Make sure you get
Zach
in on
says,
that.
Put your mortgage on it. Go ahead.
Yes. Don't follow me. I've been decent lately. Go to greenlegion.com, though, or call the office at 215-666-5940 and get in with us today. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a great football season. But in the meantime, it's baseball season. Right here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch, we're going to come back. How did Murph do last week in our picks? There's a lot of machismo going on a few feet away from me. We're going to award our tickets, and we're going to do Can You Believe It? And talk about the upcoming week for your Fightin' Phils right here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch 102.5. Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be right back right after these messages.
The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember.
Should we let the whole song play? We'll be done.
Should we just drop the headset right now?
You guys get out of here.
What a great wrap song.
You know, first of all, welcome back, Bud Light Baseball Brunch.
Welcome back.
Here on this beautiful Sunday morning on 4th of July weekend in the Delaware Valley. Thank you all for joining us. And as you can tell, we're having a little bit of fun today. A lot of fun here in the studio. And we're happy to be back together. When I think about this song, though, it takes me back to Brian Dawkins going to the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
In 2018. So the Green Legion ran a trip out there.
All right.
And we were on the bus on the way back after Ray Lewis talked for 3 hours.
About what? Ray Lewis.
Oh, my God. It was the worst. Everybody stands at the podium except Ray Lewis, who has to put on the preacher headset. And so me and my wife were going back to the bar where it was 900 of us on that trip, I believe, out there. And she's like, I'm hungry. I want something to drink. I was like, trust me, we're going to have plenty of time to eat and drink while this guy is up here talking. And nonetheless, we did. But we get on the bus to go back to Cleveland. And Drunk Diaz is up in the front of the bus. And I didn't know Diaz at the time. And he has the mic and he's singing this song. And there was like two guys right in front of me that were just so mad. They were pissed off and they're yelling at him to shut up. And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, I'm laughing because I'm a crooner myself. I mean, I'll
croon a song from time to time.
I sang the full I Want It That Way Backstreet Boys song to my wife at our wedding.
Okay.
And then I did a 60-second barb of it at my brother's wedding. I was like, who decided to give me a mic at another wedding? I was like, don't you guys know? The good thing is the DJ doesn't know my song. And then he dropped into I Want It That Way, and I had his three groomsmen were my background dancers. It was fun.
There you go. Hey, you can't have fun at a wedding, then you're not alive.
No.
That's the way I like
No.
Very
not,
good.
Not at all. Let's get back into baseball here.
Yeah.
But we got to give our tickets.
Can I real quickly tell you what that American Pie reminds me of?
What do you got?
When I was a college DJ, you know, and I'm using air quotes, when I was working at WSJR, the home of Hawk basketball. If you had to go to the bathroom, you put on American Pie and you went. That's what it reminds me of. So,
what was your DJ name?
Murphy
Murph.
DJ Jazzy Murph.
Yeah, I was very clever that way. All right. Go ahead. Let's
give away our tickets.
All right.
Let's do it. Two tickets. Phillies Cubs, Friday, July 22nd.
Great holiday movies. Not just Christmas.
Not just
all
Christmas.
All holidays. So many.
We got 11.
Yeah. Well, there's so many. Ones. So it's going to be hard to pick. You want to give us your five? Let's go.
Well, I don't have a five. I leave the five to you.
Oh, okay.
The five for you is everybody cares about what you have. They don't care about me.
I doubt that, but okay.
They do not care about me.
Give me your one.
But I'm just going to give you the 11, and let's see where they fall on your list.
All right. Okay? I should be used to this by now, but I'm not. Go ahead.
Santa Claus, Tim Allen one.
Okay.
Die Hard.
Okay.
Home Alone.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas Story.
Mm-hmm.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Mm-hmm.
The Ten Commandments. Charlton Heston.
Wow. Okay.
Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Don't know it.
James Cagney. Me neither. How old are these people?
Oh, yeah. That's an old. Okay. I know it now. I know what they're talking about.
Bad Santa. Rocky IV. Born on the 4th of July, which is the Tom Cruise movie. And Ocean's 11 takes place on New Year's Eve.
Did okay. It? All right, I'll give the motions 11. That works.
Okay, all right.
I was trying to think of a New Year's Eve movie that I wanted to put on.
Any of these fall on your five?
Yeah, two.
Okay.
Two of them.
Right, what do you got?
And one probably my number one.
Okay.
I'll give you the other three first.
All right.
I already gave you Groundhog Day.
Which was three, right?
Yeah, that was number three.
We're sure?
Yeah. So number four was Born on the 4th of July,
okay.
which made the list. Born on the 4th of July, that's an epic classic movie, so to me deservedly belongs on the list. Number five, don't judge me, Love Actually is on my personal list.
Number five, I'll always love you.
Yeah. Love Actually is an awesome Christmas movie.
Okay.
Watch it every year, kind of thing. So.
Top two.
All right, top two. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Love that movie.
One of my all-time favorites.
It would have won. If anybody would have named that movie, it would have won.
I agree. But the other one that was named is my number one. And Planes, Trains, and Automobiles and...
Interchangeable?
Christmas Vacation can be flip-flopped because they are two of the best comedy holiday movies ever made. Christmas Vacation, to me, rivals, if not surpasses, the first Vacation. They're both tremendous. But Christmas Vacation is amazing. So to me, Christmas Vacation, it wins it.
I love Christmas Vacation. But I love Santa Claus. The first one with Tim Allen, for me growing up, that was like one of the creme de la cremes. So I'm a contrarian as well. So we're going to go to Slash. Slash, you got to choose between Christmas Vacation and the Santa Claus.
I love both of them, but the OG Christmas movie is Christmas Vacation.
That way, Slash.
There you go. Listen, it's better than Mike Brady, though. It's still better than
you
Mike
wanna
Brady.
You want to say Grace? Grace,
she died 30 years ago.
They want you to say the blessing. The blessing.
It's such a great movie. I agree, Merv. I think it does surpass the original Vacation.
Yeah, and the original Vacation is phenomenal.
Exactly. Hey, all right. We got a new winner this week. David Loeb. Congratulations.
All right, David.
Nice. Awesome sauce. I'll get those tickets over to you for sure. Our picks. We got to get into this now, okay? Merv went 3-0 last week with 4 points.
Wait, I'm sorry. I wasn't listening. What'd you say?
I was trying to get... We don't have a lot of time here, Murph.
Oh, I went 3-0 last week. Is that I'm hearing it back in my ear now. I went 3-0 last week. Okay.
I think there's a typo on the run sheet.
What's the overall score right now?
All right, so after 4 points and a 3-0 week, you're 12-15 with 16 points.
All right.
I had a third straight week of 1-2. Thank God for the Yankees last week coming back against the Astros and giving me one.
I'm going to flush it and move on.
Exactly. I'm 13-14 with 17 points sold, so I only have one point on you. Money line, over under, run total. What's your first pick?
All right. First pick for me this week is the Brewers and the Pirates. The Brewers are -200, as you would expect. Brandon Woodruff and Jose Quintana on the mound, both pitching well, actually. But look, this Brewers team, ahead of the Cardinals right now in the NL Central, starting to play much better than the team we saw when we were out there in Milwaukee. I got the Brewers beating the Pirates today. That's my favorite. And they'll win that game.
What was that, -198?
-200, actually. Yeah.
All right, so you're going with a half point.
Well, actually, it was 198. Did I? Yeah, -198.
Okay. you're squeezing out that half point for sure. All right, but I'm going with a couple dogs this week.
All right, you're chasing
I'm
it.
Going for a 5-point week
you're chasing
this
it.
Week. All right, I got the Rays at +122 in Toronto to beat the Jays. They swept the doubleheader against them yesterday, and the Jays, they only got, two innings out of Gausman. That bullpen is exhausted.
Fair.
They're hoping for a lot today. Shane Baz for the Rays against Ross Stripling. They're going to take 3 or 4 this weekend, so I go with the Rays.
Second okay. Pick. All right, so I got my underdog this week is the Padres. As an underdog, so I like that. Dodgers.
That's a high number, too.
+175.
Yeah.
So Padres over Dodgers. Mackenzie Gore, Clayton Kershaw. Now, Clayton gets...
He got rocked the other day.
Yeah, Clayton gets, I think, by the bettors, gets a little bit of extra cred, and certainly earned. I mean, Clayton's been one of the best, but Mackenzie Gore is a really good young pitcher. We saw him when we were out there in San Diego. I think this is going to be a tight game. I certainly think the Padres can win this game, so I'll take the Padres +175 to win it under.
Plus, Dodgers have taken the first two in this series.
Yeah, so you figure, you know.
Yeah, got it. It's not a bad way of looking at it. My over-under for the week, over 8.5 runs, Red Sox-Cubs. It's going to be 79 degrees and sunny at Wrigley today.
Okay.
That ball's going to be flying out. 3-1 loss yesterday. Cost me some money, damn it. But I'm going to take the over 8.5 Red Sox-Cubs. Last pick.
All right, Braves-Reds. I also am taking the over 8.5 runs. Charlie Morton, Luis Castillo, two good pitchers, which I think is why, you know, I think they want you to take the under in this game for some reason. Again, you know, same kind of concept. It's hitting season at this point. I think runs will be scored, so I'll go over 8.5. It's a little bit of a flyer, but I'll take it.
I think they also switched the balls out, but that's just me.
No, could be.
And you'll like this underdog pick, though.
Okay.
And you're going to root for it because you want me to obviously get 2 points this week, but you want the Rangers at +128 to beat the Mets at Citi Field. John Gray against Carlos Carrasco. They're going to win the series after winning that Saturday game. Rangers.
So Rangers are helping us out.
That's a good baseball team, too, man. The Rangers are Simeon's getting hot. You know, Seager's batting average is low, but he's been playing pretty well. They're young. They invested a lot of money this offseason.
Hey, they beat us 4 straight.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And they might make the playoffs. Yeah. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Two things that we found interesting from this past week around the league. Murph, give me your first one.
All right. This is having to do with the Dodgers. Dodgers, since earned runs became an official stat in 1912, lowest ERA in his first 15 appearances of a season, all starts. In 2019, Hyunjin Ryu, 1.27 in his first 15 starts. Yeah. 68, Don Drysdale, 1.37. 66, Sandy Koufax, 1.53. And in 2022, Tony Gonsolin at 1.54. You talk about a guy who is flying under the radar right now. He's having an outstanding season. In my opinion, probably the leader for the Cy Young right now is Tony Gonsolin. And I wouldn't think that most baseball fans
not
even
on
know
that
he
staff.
Is. Yeah.
Yeah, but if you were going to pick think about the year, the Dodgers, Walker Buehler was one of
absolutely.
The favorites.
So there you go.
Unfortunately, he's injured, and that's probably going to cost me both my tickets, him and Harper. This one's courtesy of Jason Stark. The Yankees have been no-hit in only two current big league ballparks. One was last week at New Yankee Stadium, obviously still standing as compared to the old one. The other was 106 years ago on June 21st, 1916 at Fenway Park.
Pretty good ballparks to talk about. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe. And then they almost got hit no-hit the next day.
Yeah.
Which was pretty impressive. Well, here's my second one, but you already talked about it. On the list with
no
Babe
one heard
Ruth.
No
okay,
one,
yeah, that's
and,
what I'm thinking.
Yeah, no one heard it. No one was listening to me.
Home runs by a Yankee before July, right? 30 home runs by Babe Ruth in 1928, 30 home runs by Babe Ruth in 1930, and 29 home runs by Aaron Judge in 2022. You talk about having a prolific power year. I mean, he is on pace, obviously, for 60 home runs or more. Well, on pace for 60, I guess. But, you know, you could see him blowing through 60 this year for sure.
They don't call him the best color guy in the game for nothing, folks.
That's right.
And sticking with the Yankees, Joey Gallo, this is not a good one. He struck out 32 times in June. Ouch. Tony Gwynn struck out 27 times the last 3 years of his career.
That's
is that good?
That's not good. wait, say that again. Maybe I...
All right. Joey Gallo struck out 32 times in June. Tony Gwynn struck out 27 times the last 3 years of his career.
Yeah, not good for Mr. Gallo.
No.
No. Tony, when you look at Tony Gwynn's strikeouts and compare them to anything, it's ridiculous. And there are so many of those stats where you're like, and then Tony Gwynn only struck out once, and it's incredible. He was a special once-in-a-generation kind of player. But, strikeouts are a thing now. You know, no one seems to care. Yeah,
Tony Gwynn
was
pretty good.
A little bit. I think that's shifting back.
Tony
Gwynn was pretty good. I think that's fair.
All right, real quick, let's look at the week ahead. We got tonight's finale against the St. Louis Cardinals. Off day on Monday, which I'm still salty about. 3 against the Nats at home, which are the last 3 games before the All-Star break at Citizens Bank Park. And they're going to embark on a 9-game road trip starting in St. Louis next weekend.
4 games in St. Louis.
It's 4?
Yeah, it's a wraparound series.
Okay, so they have 1 on that Monday? Okay.
Yep. Wraparound series in St. Louis, then 2 in Toronto. Then an off day, and then 3 in Miami before the All-Star break. So that's how we finish it up. Actually, tonight is game 80 of the season.
So halfway
Tuesday
there.
Is 81.
Bon Jovi said that.
Which is, we are halfway there. Yeah, you want to croon that?
Living on a prayer.
So it's hard to, but you know, you stop to think about where the Phillies are and where everybody is right now, and we're only halfway there. So everything that's happened so far, all of it can happen again. You know, I mean, if you stop to think about it, that's how many games are left. So long and so much time and so much can happen. Good and bad.
It's there for the taking, though. It's right in front of you.
For people who declare the race over in May in the NL East, don't they look foolish now, right? The Braves are 2.5 games behind the Mets and closing fast.
Scherzer's going to be back on Tuesday.
Right.
And DeGrom has a rehab stint today.
I don't believe in DeGrom. I don't think Jacob DeGrom's going to be able to last the season. Scherzer, I do. I think Scherzer comes back and he's Max Scherzer, and that's annoying. But I'm not overly concerned yet. Now, if Jacob DeGrom comes back and is Jacob DeGrom, then all of a sudden that Mets team is really imposing again. But we'll see. But again, you know, a lot can happen. There's so much can happen. So you just gotta go out every day and try to win that game and keep winning series. And if you do that, we've seen it. They've taken 5 games, you know, off their May deficit as we sit here at the beginning of July. Do that again this month, And you're looking, you're 2.5 games back.
Yep.
So it's possible. And then that's the point. That's why you can't get too high and you can't get too low until we're in September. And then you can start living and dying with each loss.
That's all right. All right. Well, thank you all for tuning in and checking us out here on this Sunday morning, now afternoon. We're going overtime a little bit, but for Greg Murphy.
Whoops.
Slash Super Sam Brady. I'm Chris Sack. And like a 3-1 pitch to Ryan Howard, we are out of here, baby. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your 4th of July weekend. Phillies, let's win this series against those Cardinals.